And so I'm gonna call for the Johnny. Johnny, I need you.
And you just see them turn around and flip open the tent, and they see the body. They point in either a direction where Phil Philly's tent is or to Marquetta's tent, like across the way.
Can you get Marquetta for me?
They nod and close the flap.
And put up the sign that says the sign for me.
And you already hear it being flipped and hit, saying that you're close.
Perfect.
Because they know.
Beautiful.
And they'll head off to Marquetta's. So Edie, you're freaking out. Your darkness is eating at you at this point. Like,
yeah. So what happened? Basically, it's just the whole events of the day, right? Like Phil Philly ignoring, learning about the chocolate bar that was not eaten by them, but given to somebody else, tailing Doris, people booing me, the lady tempting me to give me, like, take away this thing that I don't like about myself, right? The beast within. And so she is walking to go to the only person who I don't know if she necessarily trusts, but just like because I showed at the same time and Cherik a bond-ish together, going to Liliana's tent to seek comfort, perhaps. We will see.
Do you just come in?
Yes, I will just come in and hands in face and hands, rubbing her face. You can see that the hair on her face has filled in more and that her fingernails are taking a very sharp looking nature. And yeah, so she'll just walk in and is breathing heavy.
I think that Liliana has someone at the table and has cards, like a full tarot read spread out. And upon seeing Edie, Liliana just looks at the person and says, you will never marry, ever. I mean, look at your choice of clothing. And sweeps the cards off the table and says, have a good evening.
They just sort of get up, huff, slap the money on the table and just like storm out.
Liliana pushes the money into the bowl that she keeps it in and then tells Edie to take a seat. Edie, have a seat. What's going on?
I just... This is everything. Everything... Mm-hmm. I can't control... I don't think I can control this much longer.
Did something happen?
It's Phil. It's... the Doris, it's this, there's this woman who was saying that she could fix me. She said that she could fix me. And I don't know if I should trust her because I also know that people my age are missing or are dying.
Okay. Let's take a breath, Edie. Let's take a breath. There's nothing to fix. I don't know who this woman is who said that she can fix you. But there's absolutely nothing to fix. You're very special. What you're feeling inside of you is very powerful and very special. And I've always told you that you should access it whenever you can, whenever you feel the need to.
But if I do this, I don't know if people are going to get hurt. And I also don't know if anybody's going to like me anymore.
Even if they don't like you, they will respect you or fear you. Both are good. And you've tried being nice. How did that work out with Phil? Did Phil Philia return your feelings of friendship? Or did they blow you off like everyone else?
At the mention of Phil and you saying that, you see more of her pupils dilate and her claws are getting longer. And she is now grabbing at her head. I would like to do my move, Beast Within. The way it works is when you transform into a terrifying werewolf, roll plus bones. We'll see what happens. As on a 10 plus, I get to choose two. On a 7 to 9, I get to choose one. And there's a list. So let's just roll. Mm-hmm. And on a miss, you are lost to your true nature. My bones is plus two. So I rolled a 9, so I did get 11 total.
Oh,
so
nice.
I get to choose two. So the choices I have are gain plus one to bones until you change back. Do an extra harm when you lash out with unsettling violence. You can easily transform back and also heal all of your harm. So I get to choose two from this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say do extra harm when you lash out with unsettling violence.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to pick gain plus one to bones until you change back because I don't want her to easily transform back. Because I think she's kind of lost in it. It'd be fun to see the scene where it's like maybe Liliana steps back and like whatever lighting sources in there, you just see the shadow casting back against the wall of Edie transforming into a werewolf, just her shadow.
I think I'm going to go to Marquetta just real quick. Okay. You said Wilhelm's going to report back to you, or is he just going to keep wandering around following?
He's going to keep wandering, but I can connect to him and see what he's seeing.
Okay. Yeah, I think as you're prepping again or getting for your next show, there's a knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And do you usually open it, or is it okay for the other people to open it once they knock?
I'll say enter.
I think it opens, and it's a Johnny, and you know it's one of Thetis's Johnnies because it's the taller one, more broad shouldered. Okay. So they open it, and they just sort of give you a look. Because they don't talk.
Yeah. Oh. I'll be right there.
They nod and shut the door behind them and
head back. And so I finished my lipstick, mm-hmm. and I straighten my jacket, and I'm gonna summon the other two lions to follow me to Thetis's tent. Mm-hmm.
All right, and as you head off to Thetis' tent, I think we're going to do like a cross pass by as Philphilia and Doris. What are y'all up to currently?
Well, after Doris returns,
carnival noises.
So I'd probably be escalating her around, say, so did you manage to see everything you wanted to see?
I think I did. I got my palm read. I saw a mermaid. I think we passed by the wolf girl because she, you know, there wasn't much there, to be honest. If you don't mind me saying. And I think the last thing that I haven't seen yet is the lion show, because I heard there's lions.
Oh, yeah. It's a really good show. I could definitely go see it.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
Would you mind if I escort you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, please. And she, like, goes to, like, scoop her arm into your, like, arm sort of thing, where y'all, like, lock elbows.
I guess we'll start heading towards the tent. And, like, so, did you, finish all your business with the Reverend? I remember from the diner, y'all were talking about, trying to help out your, mother.
Not quite. I was supposed to meet, we were supposed to meet a friend of his who works in like natural herbs and substances that they were gonna get from him off. But she was supposed to meet us here, and I just haven't yet. So, and I don't know where the Reverend's supposed to be meeting the mermaid, and then I think we're all supposed to meet up, but. He's taking an awfully long time with her, huh?
A lot of people tend to have a lot of fun around the mermaid tank. Sometimes they just disappear and they have so much fun.
And as you say that, you see Marquetta walking with the lions going across the grounds towards the mermaid tent.
Like, oh look, they're giving a lion show to hype up the crowd.
Oh my god, look at those cats.
Right.
Marquetta totally sees Philphilia and she gives you that knowing nod.
Well, since they're hyping up the crowd, maybe we should go get a seat, you know.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
It tends to get people excited once they're walking around everyone.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Are you going to come with me? Or I see the lion tamer looking at you. Do y'all need to talk?
No, it's fine. It's just the usual prep, you know, since it's the last show of the night and all.
Oh, right. Okay, well, let's go get a seat. I want to be right up in front.
All right.
Yeah, and they turn and y'all turn and head off to the tent. And I think as the flap opens for that tent, I think it cuts to the flap opening where Marquetta opens the other tent. For Thetis, Marquetta opens the tent and it's her with the big cats.
I hear it's snack time.
Yeah, I had a little bit of fun.
How nice for you.
Well, I mean, I could have just asked Philphilia to come and take care of it. I thought maybe your kitties would have liked a snack.
Well, I do appreciate the consideration. And, you know, Phil's been having their fun. All right, have at it. And Marquetta sends the lions to take care of business.
And as the cats move in on the body and to get rid of the evidence, quote unquote, Edie, where are you? What happened? What's going on?
I'm on the prowl, I guess. She does not transform often. It's something that she is constantly trying to keep at bay. And so I don't think she's fully transformed more than maybe 5 times in her life. And so this is like, she doesn't really, it's something she's not used to. And I don't think she has a good grip of it. So last scene after the shadow, I think it's just tent flap and she's out, like just running. And so in her mind, it's just flashes of things throughout the last few days. So the lady in red, you know, flashes through her mind. Doris smiling at Philphilia flashes through her mind. The people laughing at her is flashing through her mind. And so she is just out. I don't think being very stealthy. She doesn't know what to do, and she's kind of lost in her own thought mind process. Yeah, she's just going to be walking, or well, I don't know, stalking, because the way that she looks is very much like a very dark black big dog with like strips of like her dress are still hanging off of her. So maybe she's sniffing and is sniffing around and running through the tent, behind the tents in the shadows, but not being quiet, just trying to stay out of people's sight, but not really taking too much care about like her sounds and stuff. And yeah, I guess she'll just follow her nose to the first thing that catches like her interest, like gets through the barrier of thoughts in her mind.
And I think what you see is like, so when your vision is in this like mode, so if we go to first person, I'm going to shooter, but first person mode, what is there like a blinders on for your eyesight? Is it like more like a, you know how like sometimes like creatures, they have like a little blurriness?
Yeah, like a like fish bubble ish kind of view. Mm-hmm. I think it is kind of like that. So it's like, she's not really, eyesight isn't her first scent that she uses. And it's all now muddled colors. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing it not like the, like all like the, any lights or any like tent colors are all kind of now muddled browns and just contrast is the, what you see most you know, light versus the darker colors. But she's really using her sense of smell and hearing to figure out where things are at and where she's going.
Okay. And I think as you're coming out and you're, you know, you're in this haze and you're starting to focus on your eyesight now because you're just getting on your paws, in a sense. I think the first thing you see is the lady in red. You see that woman again. And you see the lion sort of like stalking behind her slowly but surely. She starts going towards like the further back of the area, just where it's less crowded and all that stuff. And you see your opportunity to strike and you do. And like you said, you pin her down. And I think as soon as you pin her down, the lion just sort of takes off to follow Marquetta, which I guess he can find with ease because he knows your scent. He's connected with you.
Mm-hmm.
He knows exactly where you are. Edie, she's in your clutches. What do you do?
Well, I don't want to kill her, and I really can't communicate very well right now. And so I think my first thought is to drag her back to Liliana.
I think as you pin her down, she just sort of like looks at you and just sort of smiles. She's like, "Oh, child, I could have helped you with all of this. I could have helped you see your full potential."
Edie's shaking her head in dog form and then kind of slightly growls, and then we'll grab at like not her neck and not her arm, but I think try to grab like at her front of her dress to start dragging her off.
Philia, as you're sitting there with Doris and y'all are just having conversation and whatnot, you actually see Wilhelm, which is the big male lion of the show, someone you know pretty well, sort of come through the back of the tent, come to the middle, look around, sniff, look at you, knows who you are, and just starts walking past you through the entrance of the tent without a care in the world. So you just see this big old lion just coming through, and Doris is like, "Oh my god, he's just walking out around on his own?"
They behave enough for the most part.
I see that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, Marquetta is quite the special trainer.
Wow. And she just started, like, you see her just smiling and just watching the cat walk out, and I think the tent flap opens again, and we cut to the cat started to walk in into Thetis's tent.
And the second Wilhelm comes in, I know what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at Thetis and I say, "The child has attacked that woman."
"Which woman?"
"The red woman."
"The red woman who?"
"The scary red woman. It's not good."
"Something bad's happened?"
Attacking patrons is not good. She's clearly a bad woman, but we shouldn't be attacking them, no."
"What do you want me to do? She usually carries me around."
"Okay. Of course you would only think of that. We'll get you a Johnny." And I look at Wilhelm to figure out exactly where they are. And I can tell that Edie's on their way to Liliana's. I'm going to load Thetis up in her wheelbarrow and get a Johnny, and we're all going to go to Liliana's.
The cats are here finishing the job?
Yeah, the cats are just going to finish the snacks.
Is Wilhelm helping now?
Yes.
Okay.
"You should probably cancel your show."
"No, I'm the big finish. That's just not happening."
"Well, we should find something to at least entertain the crowd in the meantime."
"Who's the juggler from front, out front? Send him in there. This is his big break."
Yeah, so, you see it's like that sort of like the silent cutscenes with the music overlays, where the music's starting to, like, you know, sort of tense up and going. And you see one of the Johnnies stick their head out of the campgrounds. They make contact with George. And George is like, "Me?" Like, points to themselves, just like, "What? Like, what? Me?" And they're like, and then Johnny's just like, huh, and just waving. And so quickly, and without a second questioning, they grab all their stuff and like head inside. And then we'll cut to Philia, and Doris is sitting there, you know, waiting for the show. And it's actually getting a little later than the show usually starts. And the crowd's sort of getting unsettled because it's actually a pretty full room now. You see the tent flap open. Instead of being Marquetta, it's George Worthington who walks in. A little uncertain, just sort of like looks around the tent, just like, wow, this is a big tent. And a little insecure, but seeing the crown, he's like, aha, it's my time to shine. And so he goes in and he sets up in the middle and he just inhales deeply. He's like, hello, fair citizens of Briceville. We will have the final big cat show here in a moment. However, I am George Worthington, sword swallower extraordinaire, and I am here to bring you a little taste of what is to come. And there's some like dispersed clapping across, like just throughout, like uncertain, like, wait, this was a cat show, but okay, we'll take another thing for the time being, I suppose. And Doris leans over to Phil and she's like, isn't this the guy who's just outside the campgrounds?
Yeah. Just prepare to be underwhelmed, is all I'm saying. It's technically a show.
Yeah, and she's like, I mean, Swordswallen's an interesting act, but okay, I understand that. No wonder he's outside the tent, for the now. Hopefully he'll get better.
Yeah. I mean, swallowing with no end purpose is, I guess, a thing.
And she sort of just giggles and, like, you know, still has her arm looped in yours and just sort of just, like, snuggles in and just, like, rests her head on her shoulder while watching the show.
So, have you thought again about my offer to try and help your mother?
I mean, I don't want to take your money. I understand that times are tough. And I'm working the hardest I can to help her out.
Oh. No, it's not money I'm offering.
Oh, then but I'm sorry. What were you offering?
I might have a way to, relieve her of some of her ailments. It's, not a guarantee, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to try anything, and since I haven't seen the father or this lady's talking about, I'll definitely give your chance a shot, but after the show.
Oh, definitely. You should, you can head over right after.
Yeah, I like that. With that, let's go to Edie Dragon in Israela. To Liliana, did you have another customer that you took in after that, or?
Yeah, I think it was. Oh, I think it was the same person. The same person came back.
I want to reread.
And was angry and was like, "I want." I think they came back with their friend for like support. Like there are linked arms. These two younger ladies, fully adults, but younger ladies.
Yeah, like,
and the friend is like,
I can't believe it.
Yeah, the friend is like speaking up and like, you didn't give my friend the correct reading. You said she'd never get married. We want to reread. And I think Liliana peeks outside the tent and doesn't see Edie at this time, right? Mm-hmm. And so says, okay, fine. Well, let's try the palm this time. And so we sit down and I think as Edie's coming in, Liliana is looking at this woman's palm and was going to give her a fair reading, sees Edie kind of coming in and says, the palm confirms that you'll never be married again with the choice of the wardrobe. And they huff and they huff and they leave as Edie drags the.
They did not pay you this time though.
Did not pay me this time, nor did Liliana request. her sadness was payment enough for Liliana.
These characters, I swear, y'all are awful.
Amazing.
That's what makes it so fun.
I know.
So good.
Horrible people.
So good.
That's true.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So yeah, so Edie has this woman by like the front of her dress and like yanks her into the tent and just like throws her off to the side and then makes eye contact with Liliana and then looks at the woman and just is like doing that, you know how dogs like when you're eating food and they make eye contact with you and then they quickly look to the other the
yes.
food that you're eating. I'm doing that with okay. this woman.
Okay. I think that the first thing Liliana does is peek outside the tent and tell the Johnny that is either walking by or stationed outside her tent to not let anyone, any guests or patrons in. I don't think that Liliana yet would call for anyone else. So I was looking at my moves and I want mm-hmm. the very first thing I want to do after that is do the, is, use the move, the touch. When you try to feel the truth inside someone, touch them and roll plus breath.
All right, who are you touching?
The woman in red.
All right, yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. 10.
Nice. So on a 10 plus, ask 2.
Let's start with what secret do you know about? Liliana's eyes go all white, which Marquetta is convinced is just her doing a trick where she rolls her eyes back into her head, but it's not. Her eyes do go all completely white when she does this. And I think that Liliana is grabbing the woman in red by the wrist, not aggressively, just holding on to her wrist to do this magic or this insight that she's doing.
Yeah. As you're touching her wrist, you just hear the strange chanting and like words of a language that you don't know. Just if that's what first hits your ears. And as you start, the veil starts being pulled back on memories. You see at first it's just dripping, just the hearing the sounds and just seeing blood starting to drip down the side of a table. With that, you see it being like scooped and like pushed into a bowl. And you see that the body is of a young woman, you're not exactly sure who, slowly being dismembered by this lady in red. And there's blood in the bowl that's put off to the side, but everything else is good, like pretty much being put into buckets. The camera flashes from that POV, that first person perspective, to looking at her as she's speaking these words. Her eyes are just glowing this bright green as she's just doing this process of slowly breaking down this body into portable pieces.
Do I think she is accomplishing this via magic, or do I, and I'm not necessarily asking for more descriptive, or do I see that there are physical tools she's using to do this?
Oh, she's using it with actual tools,
okay.
a band blade, hedge clippers. You see in the memory flashes, you see her going into like a dead cornfield. Like it just, the cornfield itself is just like completely dead. Because this is the secret she's keeping. She's the one actually behind all this. And you see her still muttering these words as she's starting to like lay out the blood in like a perfect circle, like in the grounds. So slowly but surely body parts, blood, etc. And as she's laying it out and saying these words, the ground starts growing over the body's parts and the fresh blood. The earth is starting to become lively and green in that certain spots as everything's starting to move and shift. And so, yeah, the earth is just becoming very rich with soil and like just seedlings are starting to like pop up behind it.
Do I get a sense, does Liliana get a sense of why the woman in red is doing this? Meaning, do I feel like she's doing this because she genuinely wants to feed the town and make sure that people are taken care of? Or even if I don't know what, do I feel like there's malice or evil intent behind her actions.
From this perspective and this memory, you get that she is trying to help the people in this city. But then it also flashes to, I guess, later, where you see her, it's from first person perspective, taking the bowl of blood that she kept aside before and pouring it into a running bathtub. And you see her, and she is saying something else at this point. And you see her like stirring it in with her hands, mixing it in with the soaps. And then you see her barefoot starting to step into it. And actually, when you look at her barefoot, it's wrinkled with age. It has aged butts on it. And as the camera flips around, as she's sinking in to like, you know, that classy camera cut of like, oh, this person's in the bathtub, but you can tell they're naked, but you don't see anything sort of thing. You see, it is the lady in red. It is Azrella, but however, she's like aged like 50 plus years. So her hair is gray and frizzled. She's got wrinkles and crow's feet and all that. And she sees her leaning back in the tub, saying these words. And with one last word, she inhales, submerges herself completely all the way down. And it's just, the water becomes completely still for a minute. And then she emerges again, as youthful as you see in front of you.
Second question, what would you protect at all costs?
Your memory actually goes back to the bathtub scene and her being able to retain this youthfulness for a while. She doesn't care about the people. Sure, she's helping them out, but really she's trying to help out herself, honestly. Mm-hmm. If she's able to get these bodies and like be able to produce, you know, okay, so she's able to use most of the bodies and get rid of the bodies in a responsible way, quote unquote, by producing all this like food, and she's able to keep some for herself. She's going to keep trying to do that for herself. And you actually see her her looking at Edie and that the thoughts of her thinking this is her next target.
Liliana lets go of the wrist of the woman in red and takes a second as her eyes kind of come back to what they normally look like when she's not in her trance. And because it works in her favor and not for good reasons, tells Edie the truth about what she saw, that what this woman has done, what she uses the bodies and the blood for, and that Edie is the next target.
So she can't. And so like, yeah. So it's like, also she can't fix, she's not going to fix, she was going to fix me, quote unquote.
Right. And I definitely think Liliana pushes a little in that she said she would fix you, and she's just someone else who lied. She's someone else who doesn't care.
I think actually at this time, maybe just so everybody gets there, Thetis and Marquetta show up.
So yeah, you guys all see Edie's mouth unhinged, dripping drool, getting close to the neck of this woman.
I was thinking maybe Marquetta was going to like see you like this and try to use the move offer comfort.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I'm cool. Down for it. That makes sense. It's so funny. I came to Liliana for comfort, and Liliana's like, no, everybody is shitty. And
murder everyone.
And then Marquetta, the person I think is going to destroy our carnival, is coming in and going, poor baby.
I'm going to go to offer you comfort.
Okay.
Ooh, I got an 8. Nice. 7 and 9, player gets to ask one mm-hmm. as well.
Oh, so you guys both get to ask questions.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so I think the first thing I'm going to ask is, how can I get you to calm down?
So I think Edie is acceptance of her form, I think. So if you were to reach out and actually touch her,
okay,
I think she would just immediately like dissolve into a weird puppy mess because she doesn't get
like physical
affection
confirmation.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, it's okay. And yeah, as soon as Marquetta touches Edie, it's enough of a distraction and a shock to her system that it makes her sit down and not like close her mouth and isn't going to attack the woman in red. And then I get to ask one of you as well.
Okay.
Who here frightens you?
Thetis.
Oh. Okay, cool.
Then I was going to ask, what do you want from the woman?
I wish that she had told me that she could fix me was true.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would love, is like she could take away this, whatever is making me a werewolf, essentially. But because she had other intentions for me, I want her dead. Like, she's here to threaten my life and probably going to blame us for all the other deaths of the young women in this town. And so she needs to die. I communicate this to you via tail wags and eyebrow wiggles.
The woman in red, it was like giving a look of fear, like and trying to back up, but obviously that won't scream. She doesn't scream. And then seeing the tent flap open and then the wolf being basically called off on her, essentially, she just sort of like looks around confused at the four of you. Thetis, what are you doing?
This is going to sound crazy, but I want to roll offer comfort to the red woman.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to take a wild guess that she is a human. But Red woman, you've had a hard day. Are you okay?
This is beautiful. Yes, please go ahead. Roll for comfort. Roll to offer comfort.
Nine plus grace is 2 7. 11.
11. Nice. Yeah, you get to ask too, and I don't get to ask you back, so.
How can I get you to stop murdering people?
She just has to stop doing it altogether or find a terrible option that doesn't hold out as well as this has been holding out.
And that kind of goes hand in hand with my second question, which would be, how can you be redeemed?
How she can be redeemed is that, honestly, really, the only person that really knew her in town was Father Merkel. So no one in Towson really knows who she is because she doesn't live within the city limits. So she basically can start integrating herself into society a bit and being helpful in that aspect, but redeeming all the people she has murdered and the women that she's kidnapped and sacrificed. I don't know if there's much redemption from that other than trying to pay back in labor, you know? All right, so Thetis, you are able to get all this information from Isrella, the red woman, as y'all decided to call her.
You have choices here. It may be of comfort, it may not be of comfort, but you have choices here. The choices you make determine your fate.
And then she sort of just gives, like, she's sort of setting up, like, starting to set up a bit and looks at you and just thinks and just nods.
Maybe it went unsaid, but the way you're carrying on will not continue.
So Liliana was feeling rather pleased that she was getting Edie to really embrace like the monster within, or her true, I think what Liliana thinks is like her true or most powerful form. And then Marquetta comes in and kind of calms her down. And then Thetis's reaction is also to try to calm the situation. And I think that upsets Liliana. And so I want to roll to embrace the darkness.
Oof. Okay. 9.
So on a 7 to 9, choose 1. So what I want to do here is I either want to show someone true pain or I want to show someone true grief. And what I want to be able to do is show Thetis about what Marquetta did to her sister.
How are you going to do that?
So I think as all this calmness is going on, I think the tent was incredibly tense with Edie originally kind of standing over the lady in red with her jaw unhinged. And then when Marquetta and Thetis came in, the situation really calmed. And I think that Liliana, in a slightly raised voice, interrupts Thetis's conversation with the woman in red and says, Thetis, I know this is probably not the right time, but there's a truth that you must be aware of. And then Liliana looks at Marquetta.
And Marquetta sees that face and just gets very, very stiff, stops comforting Edie and just starts shaking her head at Liliana.
I like the idea that that as Liliana was talking, she was walking toward Thetis and putting her hand out as if she was going to show Thetis the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Marquetta interrupts and touches her hand. And so we have this like moment.
This I see it instead.
Yes, you see it instead. So you know Liliana knows. I know
exactly
knows.
What she's about to do.
Okay.
I'm going to look at the woman in red. It was her. It's been her this whole time, causing all this mayhem that's followed us this entire time.
Thetis, I believe the woman in red has something to do with the disappearance of your sister.
Thetis, as she was talking before, she had had like a little bit of softness to her face. Not exactly warm and cuddly, but you know, there was some amount of goodwill there in that, you know, she was offering the red woman, you know, a chance to not be murdered in exchange for all of her deeds. But she gets very stiff very quickly and looks at the woman in red and says, "What have you done?"
And I think she's like looking between y'all confused and she's like, "I don't know. I mean, I've only done what I've done here."
I think Liliana cuts her off and looks at Edie and tells Edie the same thing, that this woman has followed us and she has caused pain not only to the young people of this town, but to Thetis' sister, one of our own. She's harmed one of our own.
The dog starts whining, paw on the head on the ground, paws up on their face, doing basically the exact same thing that Edie does as a person, but now in dog form. And is just so torn, like doesn't really know what to do. And she'll get up and she'll start going back to like lash out with violence. Like if it's like three of my companions are now pointing at this, like in Edie's mind, all of them are pointing at this woman in red, accusing her, and they want to be taken care of and this will make them all happy. She's gonna lash out with violence. It's all right. I get a lot. Get to do a lot here because I get to do extra harm when I lash out with unsettling violence.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to roll plus one. And I have a plus one to my bones right now as well, on top of my plus two bones.
Oh, dang.
So I'm really stacked here to do poorly. 5, 6, 7, 8. So on an 8, I get to choose one. You attract unwanted attention, you take it further than you intended. Mm. Someone precious to you pays for your rashness. Mark darkness as the blood stains your hand.
Hold on. On a 7 and 9, choose 2.
Oh, choose 2.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely mark darkness as the blood stains your hand. Or in this case, her mouth. And I think something that Edie is afraid of, someone precious to you pays for your rashness. So Edie is being pushed to attack through her own like mental stuff to attack this woman. So she lunges at the woman in red and starts to tear into her.
I think as you do that, the Isabella screams, the woman in red screams. And I think with that reaction, the tent flap flies open and Mother Gloria standing there, and she's like, what is going on here? And she sees the three of you standing and in your wheelbarrow. And then she like looks down to see Edie in full form tearing into this woman who is trying to fight back, but like, you know, claws and teeth versus nails and, you know, punches doesn't work out too well. And I think as someone, you know, someone who owns big dogs who aren't afraid, like, or like, for example, Marquette, you know this far too well when your cats get too active. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of step in and pull them off from one another.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Mother does. And she just steps in and grabs Edie by the ruff of her fur
mm-hmm.
to pull her back. And I think that's when Edie turns to attack her.
Yeah, I bite her hand.
Yeah. And since harm's exchanged, I think when that happens, Mother's eyes glow that bright golden ember as her own fang start showing and like the more of a draconic face cone happens, and she basically grabs you again by I guess your throat at this point, if this is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she just throws you across the tent.
Okay, I like it.
So you basically end up hitting, I think, one of the support beams for Lily on this tent, and that's what stops you.
Okay.
And he falls to the ground. And I think as the dust is settling from Edie, I think Mother standing there in this half draconic form, her hands actually turning into like what are like reptilian claws in a way. And you see her like inhale deeply, and as she exhales, everything starts fading back to normal. Her fangs go back in, her hands turn back to hands. Her face shifts back, her eyes fade from the glowing. And she's like, looks down at the woman, looks at the three of you. Clean this up and be ready to pack up and leave by morning. And just turns and walks out.
Is the woman in red alive?
Hanging on by a thread.
Who's finishing this?
Give her to me.
I think Liliana immediately picks up like in a carrying position, you know, like carrying a bride. It's a weird analogy. And kind of lays her in Thetis's wheelbarrow.
Thetis grabs the woman by her hair, by the back of her head, and just kind of tips her face forward into the water. So like just her face is submerged. And just holds her there.
And the blood is actually mixing in with your water. So you're, by the time it's finished, your barrel is just full of like blood and a water mixture. So it's very murky.
Same as with Father Merkel. Just as soon as she's done struggling, I just let go and let her fall.
Yeah. And she just falls out.
Marquetta, are the cats still hungry?
Yes, but... Showtime. They'll have to come clean this up later.
I can hide her under my table.
You're gonna still read cards to people with a dead body under your table?
That tracks.
I have money to make.
We all have money to make.
All right. And I think as Liliana says that, I think that's where we're going to end that scene. I don't know. Edie, how are you feeling right now?
Oh, I think the scene, if you want to end it here, is she's back against the wall, the tent where I was thrown by Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that shock makes her transform back into mm-hmm. human. And so, yeah, she's back as a human. And kind of just laying there. I don't know how big your tent is, but.
If Marquetta and Thetis leave for the show and to clean up the wheelbarrow, can we, if it's okay, Amber, can we cut out on Liliana putting her arm around Edie and whispering in her ear?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, what's being said? We'll never know.
I don't know.
I think once, you know, all that happens, I think now we're going to go into episodic shots.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all just want to offer a small scene, talk about what your character may be doing, so on and so forth, I think that's where we are at this point, just doing little epilogues.
I think Marquetta has finished for the night and she's in her stagecoach, and you see her like packing up her stuff and cleaning, and she's counting her money, and she's like, she's got a ledger, and then she's like crossing some things off, and you see that she's got a checklist, and it's like total to be able to leave.
Paying her way out of the circus? Oh, yeah.
Like, or to escape. Like, she knows she's not long for this group. And so she's keeping track of it.
There's probably shots of Liliana talking with Edie. And mm-hmm. we don't really hear what it is, but Edie is looking very not as puppy-like as she was at the beginning of the season, where she's a little bit more hardened and a little holding herself a little bit more stiff and has more of a like 1,000-yard stares where she's just like looking out at stuff and is just listening to Liliana a lot of the time. Like in these shots, it's just Liliana telling her things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I break away from that and go off on my own to start packing up, I think you can kind of like see her trying to like looking at her hand and trying to make the transformation like start essentially. And like is practicing trying to control that kind of like power that she has.
I think we see Thetis with her little fish skeleton that she believes is haunted with the ghost of her sister. And we see her holding it up to her ear like it's speaking to her. And she looks at it and she just nods. And we see her level a stare, maybe across the alley at Marquetta. And she kind of holds up the fish skeleton and nods understandingly.
Oh, shit.
Oh, snap.
So I think Liliana, as one camera cuts away to follow Edie as she's trying to control that transformation, I think that we then cut back to Liliana, who is going into her trance. So her eyes go white. And I think that she watches through her third eye, watches Edie, and then it cuts over to her watching Mother, and we can see that Mother is in her tent and that she appears to be ill and coughing into a handkerchief. And I think that Liliana smiles.
Just after the event for the night, Philia would escort Doris back home, assuming she would let them.
Mm-hmm.
He'd ask, "So can I help with your mother? Is that something you'll let me do?"
"Oh, yes, please. I mean, anything. I'm willing to do anything at this point."
"In order for me to do it, we do need to come to an agreement."
"Okay."
"And that's, they're going to try and use her to strike a deal."
"Ooh, okay. Yes, please."
"Oh, damn, that's 10. "In order for me to do this, I need you to be my friend. Like, truly my friend."
"I mean, I can do that. I can be your friend. You've been nothing but kind to me the whole time I'm here. Why wouldn't you be a friend?" And she, like, gives a little smile.
"All right, then. Show me to your mother."
All right, and she lets you in and takes you upstairs to where her mother is laying. Her mother's sleeping right now, but it's, like, labored breathing and, like, you know, cold sweats, like, a woman probably like in her mid-40s or so.
You might want to turn your head for this.
Okay. And she just turns her back.
And you see Philia grab the mother's wrist and take a bite, not like to eat, but just sinking their teeth into her wrist. And you see Philia start to, their colors start to drain a bit, and the mother's return as some of Philia's constitution is given to the mother. And once that's gone on for about, I'd say, 5 minutes or so, Philia would get up and straighten themselves up and turn back to Doris and be like, so, now for your end of the deal.
And what's, and my end of the deal is to be your friend, right?
Well, yes. It's probably best to be done in your room.
She picks up what you're throwing down, gives you a small smile, takes your hand, and leads you down the hallway to another room.
And so while in Doris's room, Philia would sit her on the bed and be like, this is something I'll only show my true friends. Right, well, Philia would embrace the darkness, and they would show Doris true disgust. You would see Phil just kind of... You would see Phil stand up straight while looking Doris in the eyes. And you'd slowly see Phil's mouth open wider and wider and wider and just not stop. And you'd see Doris staring into the mouth, unable to comprehend what she's seeing, and probably zoom in as you see the terror in her eyes.
If after that, the sun rises. The caravans are all packed up as the Johnnies, you hear the last bits of the Johnnies, waving at each other and trying to push things onto the last bit of the carts and the cars and all that. And the last scene is that you see all the cars driving off out of the field, back down the road, not back towards town, but off in another direction. There are some spots of dirt that have been covered up that are a little darker than other spots, you know, where people may have been killed, you know, those things. And we kind of just watched the cars drive off, and then with that we cut to an area where the sun is just starting to rise on the horizon. You hear the roosters crowing, letting know at the start of the day. You start hearing farmhands starting to yell at each other off in the distance. But the camera appears in like this room of the sleeping young woman. It's not Doris. You don't really know who it is. Fair skin, light hair, sort of just sleeping. But all of a sudden you see her, she was sleeping on her side. All of a sudden you see her like unforcedly like just fall into her back, like just snapped to like lay on her back position. And so she's looking up the ceiling and the camera is looking down at her, and you see her just open her eyes just abruptly. It's nothing but pure black voids as her eyes. And you see a smirk on her face, and then it cuts.